Last time that I spoke to you, which was 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Genesis account of the creation of Adam and Eve, and we saw that in the beginning, man was created in wholeness and completeness. We saw that God's creation was perfect in all areas, and he himself pronounced it very good. But it doesn't take a genius to look around and see that much has changed between then and now. What God intended for man is not the society that we live in today. We live in a society full of stress and anxiety. And in his book entitled From Stress to Well-Being, I referenced that last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, Dr. Ellison identifies that within each and every one of us there are eight, what he refers to as ontological needs. Ontological meaning, this is a need or a substance within us that makes us feel whole and complete. We saw that Adam and Eve did not begin with these needs because God gave them everything that they need. We refer to them as having eight ontological givens. But we saw that because of one fateful decision, which we will look at, that those givens now had deficits. And so you and I, all of the children of Adam and Eve, now live with these eight needs. We all want to feel accepted and that we belong. We all want to feel a sense of competence and that life is fair and equitable. We all need a personal sense of identity and security, knowing that we have significance and a transcendent purpose in life. Where Adam and Eve were created again in wholeness and completeness with nothing lacking in their lives, you and I now find ourselves incomplete. You and I, to one degree or another, have holes in all of these areas of our lives. But where did these holes come from? It wasn't the way Adam and Eve were created in the beginning, so what causes the holes? It was interesting, a number of years ago I was watching a movie, a Disney movie. It was made in 2003. And the movie was about these young boys, these young men, older teenagers I guess they were. And they had committed some wrongdoings. They had transgressed the law. And because they were youth, they weren't sent to prison. They were sent to this boys' camp, where they were sentenced to dig holes in the desert as penance for their wrongdoings. In a sense, these holes were a direct result of their wrongdoing. You may remember the movie, it was in fact entitled Holes. Now, while this was a fictitious movie, the concept of wrongdoing leading to the creation of holes actually has a very interesting and significant spiritual parallel to it. So today we are going to address this concept of holes. Today we will address the concept of how sin causes holes in your life and in mine. And the only way to completely fill the holes, because that's what we want to do, but what we need to realize is that the only way to completely fill the holes is by returning to the Creator, the one who made man in the first place whole and complete. Along with the creation of Adam and Eve in wholeness and completeness, God also created man with something else. It's what you and I refer to as free will, or the ability to make choices. God, while offering them guidance and direction, however, allowed Adam and Eve, and allows you and me, to make decisions in our lives. The deficiencies or the holes that would come in the lives of Adam and Eve, as we will see, was a direct result of one such fatal decision. The choice or the decision to sin. Now we read of that choice over in Genesis chapter 3. We spent most of the sermon last time in Genesis. Let's go back there to Genesis chapter 3 and we will read of that fatal choice. The decision to sin. And again, I'm stressing this because sin is a decision. It is a choice that you and I make. Notice in Genesis chapter 3, let's begin in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but,'" verse 3, "'of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So the first thing that we want to identify and want to understand is, in the beginning, God created man in wholeness and completeness. He created them with free will, but he also established his laws. He also established what was right and wrong. And up until this point in time, Adam and Eve had absolutely no problems living within the guidelines, the do's and don'ts of what God said was acceptable. They had no problem. They had not eaten of that tree. They had not touched that tree. But now another voice was entering into their sphere. When they used to listen to God, now another voice would be heard. Notice going on in verse 4, it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it,'" speaking of the fruit, "'your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So again, up until this point, Adam and Eve had no problem listening to and following the voice of their Creator. And now another voice was coming into their lives, and he was creating doubt in their minds. And he was, in fact, calling the Creator a liar and falsely offering Adam and Eve something better. And now the choice, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate," in direct disobedience to the voice of their Creator, Eve now listened to the voice of this other individual. "She ate and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." So both chose to disobey their Creator. Now, Scripture refers to this disobedience as sin. When we look at First John 3 verse 4, we see that sin is the transgression of the law. It's the transgression or the breaking of what you've been told is acceptable. God told them this is acceptable, this is unacceptable, and they now broke that law, or what Scripture refers to as they sinned. What then was a direct result of this sin, this choice that they made? Going on in verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." All of a sudden, acceptance. We've talked about how Adam and Eve had full acceptance of who they were, of how they were created. We go back to chapter 2 and it says they were created naked and they were not ashamed. And now this acceptance has suddenly turned to shame. Instead of security, where they were fully secure amongst all the wild beasts of the field, instead of security, they now felt fear. Instead of competence, as we will see, they would now use blame. Simply put, their ontological givens now had gaps. They had now been damaged physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They now had holes. Now, before I go on, I do want to make a comment going back to verse 7, because we read the statement, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened," and that can be a little misleading or it can be misunderstood. Does this mean, in fact, that God did keep Adam and Eve in the dark and deceive them, as Satan was alluding to? Is that the case? No. The point here is, up until this point in time, their eyes had only ever seen the Creator and His work. Their eyes had only ever seen righteousness and holiness and goodness and perfection. But now their eyes had been exposed to, had been opened to something else. For the first time, they were seeing something other than the perfection of God. And indeed, it was not good. In this instance, sin had robbed Adam and Eve of their wholeness, of their completeness. And now, as I said, they had deficiencies. They had gaps. They were damaged, as you and I are damaged, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They immediately experienced what you and I might refer to today as an identity crisis. Why? Because their relationship with their Creator had been damaged. As we read in Isaiah 59 verse 2, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from our Creator. It damages that relationship that once existed between Adam, Eve, and the Creator in perfection, was now damaged. They were now separated because of sin. Let's now again continue on and notice further the damage that sin causes, the holes that it causes. Going on in verse 11, Adam has just said, I hid myself from you. And he, God, said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now notice, Adam, created with full competency, knew that he had the abilities to do what he was required of him to do. The one that was presented with Eve and probably said, "Wow, you know, what a beautiful woman." And the one that wanted to cling to her and cleave to her and be joined to her and become one flesh with her. Now notice the mind of Adam. "Then the man said, 'The woman which you gave me, She gave me of the tree and I did eat. Where once there was full competence, now there was blame. Adam had a problem in his sense of equity. He was basically saying, I'm not responsible. You are God, you gave her to me. Or the woman is, she's the one that gave me the fruit. But Adam was saying, I'm not responsible. He now had gaps in his competency. He also had a problem with equity. He said, it's not fair that I be judged this way. So again, we see gaps appearing in his competence, his equity, and all of the other ontological givens that he once had in perfection. Now here we see something that's very important for us to understand, because so many times people will say, well, my sin isn't hurting anyone else. Now we all understand that sin is against God, first and foremost, and it affects our relationship with Him. But what I want us to understand here is that sin, because it affects our relationship with God, because that relationship is damaged, every other relationship that we have, by extension, is also damaged. Again, here we see Adam, who once looked at this beautiful woman and wanted to hold her and cleave to her and be joined to her, thought she was very good. Now he looked at her and said, she's not so good. So his relationship with his wife was now damaged because of his sin. And Eve's relationship with her husband was damaged because of her sin. Both of those relationships were damaged because their individual relationships with God was damaged. So again, what we see here is an insidious effect of sin. Sin does not just affect us. It, in essence, affects all of our relationships. Why? Because it affects our relationship with God. And that is the foundational relationship of all our relationships. Now, we read earlier, Isaiah says that sin separates us from God, from the Creator. Let's notice what happens then, dropping down to verse 22 of chapter 3. Verse 22 says, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, God knows good and evil, but He also has the character and the will to choose the good. When man was presented with good and evil, he did not have the character to simply choose good, and he chose evil. He chose to sin. So they've become like us. Now, lest he put forth his hand also and take her of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden. Here's this separation beginning. He pushed him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. This is not what God originally intended. God had provided him and placed him in a garden and provided him. God was the provider, providing them with all of the trees to eat from and the herbs and the vegetables and all of that. And now God cast them out because they chose to separate themselves from God, and says, now you have to tend the ground for yourself. Now you have to grow your own food. So the Lord God sent them out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken, verse 24. So he drove man out, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the tree of life. The tree of life which was there, which was available to Adam and Eve was now cut off from. They were now cut off from this tree of life. This is what sin does. This is what the choice of sin does in your life, in my life, in the lives of Adam and Eve. Sin separates us from our Creator. It damages our relationship with our Creator. It creates holes. And it leaves us with these ontological needs that each and every one of us have. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, Adam and Eve were now damaged. Now, it's one thing for you and I to look at the Genesis account, to look at the life and story of Adam and Eve and be able to identify where they made their mistakes. But the important thing for you and me, brethren, is to look at ourselves and acknowledge, where am I making my mistakes? We learn the lesson from them that sin damages. Sin creates holes. Sin makes us incomplete beings. So we need to look at where we're making the choices to sin and recognize that those choices, no matter how pleasurable they might be at the time, because sin is pleasurable for a season, but the effect, the long-term effect of it is damage. Again, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're all in that same boat. We can't just point our fingers at Adam and Eve and say, hey, we're in this mess because of you. No, they were in their mess because of their sins. You and I, brethren, are in our mess, not because of their sins, but because of our sins. We own our mess. We own our holes. Lest anyone thinks that that is not the case, let's look at what the inspired Word of God says. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 verse 23 says, makes this all-encompassing statement, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now we can read that, and when I was reading that in the context of studying and looking at the life of Adam and Eve, I see that that really has two ways that it can be interpreted. This can mean that in comparison to God Himself, we all fall short. We don't have the glory of God Himself, and we all acknowledge that. But there's another way to look at this. In comparison to the way God originally created man in wholeness and completeness, we now all fall short of that. We all fall short of that wholeness, that completeness. We all are damaged. We all have holes. So we all must identify with and acknowledge the fact that to one degree or another, in all of these areas, in all eight areas, we all have holes. I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you have a problem feeling accepted? Have you ever had a problem feeling accepted? Do you sometimes feel like you don't belong? Do you at times question your competency? Do you feel perfect equity in your life? Or do you struggle with rightness and fairness, good and evil? Do you feel totally secure in this world? If you feel totally secure, I want to know the world you live in. Do you feel like your life has only marginal significance, if any? Do you feel any significance in your life? Do you fully grasp the purpose for your life? Of course, we ask those questions of ourselves, and we must answer those questions privately. Where are my gaps? Where are my holes in all of these needs? Where am I falling short? But more importantly, why are there gaps? And even more important than that, what can I do about it? That's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, brethren, on far too many occasions, I personally, and I'm sure you have, had this unfortunate thing in your life, but on far too many occasions in my life, people I personally have known and had relationships with have committed suicide. Have you ever wondered why do people do that? How do people get to that point where they feel so helpless in their lives that their life has no sense of purpose or meaning anymore? Well, the simple answer is it's because of their holes. The holes in their lives have become so big, so enormous, so overwhelming that they don't see any sense or purpose. They don't see any significance. They don't feel that security. That they certainly don't feel whole and complete. Whether they know it or not, whether they will admit it or not, they have been cut off from God, and that damaged relationship has gotten to the point where they no longer see any point or purpose in life. That is a sad state of affairs. Back in 1985, when I was at Ambassador College, Dr. Don Ward, in his Fundamentals of Theology class, had us write two term papers. One term paper for the first semester, second term paper for the second semester. And I went through my notes and I actually found those two term papers that I wrote way back in 1985. And it was interesting, I was looking through it, just remembering when I wrote it, what I'd written down. The two term papers were as follows. The first semester term paper was on the 10 basic questions of life, where we had to address and answer from the scripture the 10 basic questions of life. The second term paper, second semester, was my philosophy on life. Now, I was a young 24, 25 year old at that point, and I didn't realize it at the time, but those two term papers and the answers that I wrote in this term, or these two term papers, has a direct bearing on what we're talking about today, on the holes that exist in the lives of human beings. We had to answer such questions as, who is God? What is God? What is good and what is evil? What is the nature of man? What is the nature of the universe? Fate versus free will. Do we really have a choice in the matter? Earlier than that, back in 1972, in the Worldwide Church of God, a man by the name of Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote a book entitled, Why Were You Born? A very important booklet for all of mankind to know. And yet, so much of mankind is ignorant to the truth of why they were born. When the United Church of God started in 1995, one of the very first booklets that we produced, What is Your Destiny? These books and the material in them speak to the purpose in life and speak to the fulfillment of these fundamental needs, these ontological needs. For the most part, man has been blinded to the truth that you and I have been given through the mercy and grace of God and through the work that He, through Jesus Christ, is doing on earth. You and I have been given answers to the most important questions in life. But for the most part, man is blind to that truth. He is ignorant to the answers of those questions. Man has chosen sin over salvation. And the result of that, he has chosen holes over wholeness. But the good news, brethren, is God is still on His throne. God is still God. Even though another voice entered the realm of man, God is still in control. And God has a plan. God has had a plan from the beginning, before even He created mankind, before the beginning of the world, it says. God has a plan to fill the holes that's in your life, that's in my life, that's in the lives of all mankind. He has a plan to fill those holes, to heal mankind of that damage, and to return us to the original state of wholeness and completeness. So the question that you and I want to now ask and answer is, How? How can we fill the holes? We have them. We all acknowledge that they're there. We know what causes them. Sin. Sin separates us from God. That damages the relationship. And that damaged relationship causes holes. So then how can we fill the holes? Now from a physical or psychological perspective, it is possible that other human beings can help in this process. Other human beings can help another person feel a little more whole, a little more complete, a little less damaged. That is true. If a child grows up with a mother and father that are fully invested in the family, that are part of the family, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if those parents nurture that child, encourage that child, guide that child, correct that child in gentleness and love, that child will still have holes, but those holes will not be quite so pronounced, will they? Now, if a child grows up in an abusive family, always being told, you no good for nothing, those holes will be a little more prevalent. So it is true that other human beings can help us, can either contribute to our wholeness, or they can also detract from our wholeness and make those holes somewhat bigger. Scripture, as far as parents are concerned, Scripture tells us that we as parents are to help heal the holes of our children. Let's just quickly note a few scriptures. I'm not going to turn to a lot of these, but Proverbs 22 verse 6 tells us what? Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. We have a responsibility to train our children. In the ways of God. To help mend those holes. Ephesians 6 verse 4 tells us as parents, do not provoke your children, but nurture them in the Lord. We are to nurture our children. Proverbs 3 verse 12 tells us as parents to correct our children in love. So as parents, you and I are given instructions as to how we are to help the healing and mending process of our children. Let's notice this one, and I want, if you young ones, children, teenagers, young adults, I want everyone to turn here, 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, we tend not to want to believe this one, but it is so true. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to read with me verse 33. Everyone, read this with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. So we can be deceived on this point, young ones. Not so young ones. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good behavior, is what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, the same apostle tells us, do not be unequally yoked. So the personal responsibility for us is, all of us, young and old alike, is be careful whom you choose as your friends. Be careful whom you choose to hang around with. Because if you hang around with people of evil, corrupt company, they will corrupt your good behavior. So we have a personal responsibility here as well. This is why the United Church of God is so big on camps. It's why the United Church of God is so big on these teen weekends. We have one coming up. Why? Because we want you young ones to create and to develop good, wholesome friends. Friends within the faith that will not corrupt good behavior, but support good behavior as you support their good behavior. From the perspective of the rest of us as family members of the God family, let's notice a couple of scriptures to where we are instructed to help one another. Let's first of all notice Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Says, just breaking into the thought here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So as brethren, when we come together and we encourage one another and we exhort one another and we support one another, what are we doing? We're helping heal the holes, the incompleteness that is in all of us. Other human beings can do this, can help. Let's notice one more, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we are to support one another. We are to bear one another. As we come together, we talk about the problems that we're having, the difficulties that we're having, and we're praying for one another, and we're supporting one another, and we're physically helping one another. What are we doing? We're helping rebuild the wholeness and the completeness of the individual. I won't turn there. John 13:34 tells us, Christ tells us to love one another as he loved us. So it is possible for other human beings, and I want you to hear this carefully, it is possible for other human beings to help heal the holes. However, it is imperative that we understand that other human beings cannot fully and totally heal the holes, cannot fully and totally fill them. Yes, friends, family, church brethren can help, but what we must understand is the holes exist and are spiritual in nature. Those holes aren't physical holes, they are spiritual in nature. And because they are spiritual in nature, the only way to fully and completely be healed of these holes, to return to that state of wholeness and completeness, is to return to the Creator. To return to our Creator and be healed. Now the problem is, you and I don't really believe that. I want you to let that sink in. You and I do not believe that. Too often we think that, oh, if I had a boyfriend, life would be perfect. If I had a girlfriend, I wouldn't need anything else. If I could only get married and have a spouse, I would be complete. If I could have a nicer house, a faster car, a bigger bank account. That's what would fill my gaps. That's what would fulfill all my needs, having $1 million in the bank. Or we go another route to try to fill those holes using physical options. We turn to drugs. Or we turn to alcohol. Or we turn to sex. Or we turn to something else. And we try to fill those holes, not recognizing and not truly believing that those holes are spiritual in nature and can only be filled spiritually. Can you and I help? Absolutely. But we are not the solution. The solution only is in returning to the Creator who created us in wholeness and completeness. He is the only one that can truly, totally fill the holes and heal the damage that exists within you and me. Scripture is full of times when it tells us, where God tells us as his people, return to me. See, what does sin do? Sin says, we walk away from you, God. That's what sin does. Sin separates us, and God is saying, return to me, and I will heal you. Because apart from me, you're damaged. Every single prophet in the Scripture, in one way, shape or form, speaks of this. Let's notice just a few. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and let's notice verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his ways, sin. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. This tells us that sin is more than just what we do, it's even what's happening up here in our head. Those evil thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the way in which we fill these holes is through repentance and through turning or returning to our God. Let's notice what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, it says, "Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." It says, "My children, return to me and I will heal you." Going on, it says, "Indeed, if we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God." Verse 23, "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills," from this something physical, "and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." He's saying in vain are you seeking the solution amongst physical things. You can't fill the holes amongst physical things because the holes are spiritual in nature. Let's notice one more. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. "For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to the land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up." Verse 7. "Then I will give them a heart to know me, to have that relationship with me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." See, it's our heart that's damaged, isn't it? That's where the holes exist. And when we return to God, and how do we do that? Through repentance. When we return to God, he says that he will be our God and he will heal us. I said that was the last one for that particular section. There's one more that I do want to read. Sorry, let's turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal. He has stricken, but he will bind us up." Or he will bandage our wounds, is another way of putting that. And I wanted to bring this out because I want you to think about what that is saying in terms of or in light of what is said in Isaiah 53, where it speaks of Jesus Christ, who was stricken. But why was he stricken? For our transgressions. Why was he beaten and taken those stripes upon himself? For our iniquities. And what is the purpose of that beating? Of that stricken, it's so that you and I can be healed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's the Passover message, isn't it? That we need to be healed. Isaiah 47 verse 3 tells us that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So Scripture clearly tells us that the answer to our problem is to return to God. It was through separation from God that the problems existed in the first place. The solution is to return to God. It isn't found in stuff. The solution isn't in friends. The solution isn't even in the brethren in the church. Can they be helpers? Absolutely. But only God can truly fill us and fill and heal those holes. Let's notice what Christ says in Matthew chapter 5. New Testament now. Why did Christ come? Matthew chapter 5. And let's notice verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That is a result of repentance. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that's not talking about filling the belly. That's talking about filling the holes, those spiritual holes that are within us, each and every one of us. This is what Adam and Eve... Well, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. I want to turn to one other scripture here. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice how we are filled. What is the mechanism that fills us? Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 17 through 19. Again, just breaking into the context here. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts." Where's the damage? In our hearts. That's where the holes exist. "That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge." Notice, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's what we're lacking. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. That's the way Adam and Eve were initially created, with the fullness of God, where they walked with Him and they talked with Him and they fellowshiped with Him daily, personally. So it is through Christ dwelling in us that the holes of our heart can be healed. Again, this is what Adam and Eve had in the beginning. But sadly, they chose sin over the tree of life, didn't they? They had access to the tree of life, but they chose sin over the tree of life. And as a result, they were cut off from God. They were driven out and driven away from that tree of life, to where they, at that point, could not take of it. But the good news is that that tree of life still exists. It exists in the form of Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. He says that, "I am the way, I am the life, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life." That tree still exists and has been made available to you and I. You and I... Have you ever heard this before? That the church is like a hospital full of sick people, and we're here being what? Being healed. How are we being healed? By Christ living again in us, returning us to that fullness of God. That tree of life still exists. And that tree of life will once again be offered to all mankind. Why? For healing. To heal the holes of their hearts. Let's notice what it says at the end of the book. We've read about the beginning of the book. We know how man was originally created. What about the end of the book? Let's notice now Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. "And he showed me a pure river of water, of the water of life, clear as crystal." Christ himself says, "I am the water of life. He who drinks of me will never thirst again." He wasn't talking physically. He was talking figuratively, spiritually speaking. "And it proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the streets, And on either side of the river was the tree of life. It's still there and will be made available to man for what purpose? Which bore 12 fruits, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We all need to be healed. You and I have that opportunity now. We don't have to wait until this time. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, just as Adam and Eve used to see the face of God every day. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It speaks of a time when the tree of life will now no longer be hidden from humanity, but will be made available to all mankind for the healing of the nations, for the healing of the holes that are within them, for the healing of the holes which they chose. Every one of us have chosen it. We've chosen sin over salvation. So, brethren, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were created in wholeness, in completeness, in perfection. And God said it was very good. Then, through the choice of sin, they were cut off and they were separated from their Creator. And that separation has caused all kinds of holes in their life and has caused all kinds of holes in your life and mine. And man has been damaged ever since. But Jesus Christ came to heal the nations, to restore man back to his Creator. He came as the tree of life to heal the damaged, the brokenhearted, to fill the holes, so that through him, you, me, and all mankind can once again stand before our Creator in wholeness and completeness.